Ladies and gentlemen, the state of California is investigating LA County over ads that appeared to support the homeless services tax measure. To talk to us about this and more, it's a pleasure to welcome back the president of the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association, John Capel. John, how are you?
I'm doing well, Doug. How are you?
I'm fine. So what's this shenanigans about?
Well, you know, as most folks in Los Angeles recall, there was a countywide initiative called Measure H for a homeless tax, which, you know, this is not disparaging of that issue at all. However, the County of Los Angeles spent well over $1 million on political ads. At least that's our contention. And if you go back and look at those ads, they were not informational. They were clearly political advocacy. And in the law, that is the distinction. It is permissible for a city, for example, if it sends out some informational piece about keeping the streets clean, that's fine. But as soon as a government entity says vote yes or vote no or presents something so one-sided, that is a violation not only of California statutory law, but it's also a violation of the First Amendment because it involves compelled speech. So we brought this to the attention of the Fair Political Practices Commission. They announced that they were commencing an investigation, and that investigation is ongoing. I think we've given them more than enough information to prove our case, and that's particularly true if you look at those ads. I mean, these things are very slick television ads, $1 million worth of television ads produced not by some nonprofit group, but produced by a political consulting firm. So it's clearly political advocacy using taxpayer dollars. And that is what is offensive, and that is what is illegal.
The website, by the way, for the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association is hjta.org, hjta.org. And it's that's a must bookmark website because there's so much important information there all the time. And if you own property in the state of California, you're crazy if you're not in touch with the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association. John, while we have you here, I wanted to pick your brain on the tax reform bill that passed in the Senate at 2 a.m. and now has to be reconciled with the House version, because there are a lot of us looking at this thing, and there are certainly aspects of the tax bill that are positive. Everybody that, including former President Barack Obama, indicated that the corporate tax rate in the United States was too high and that this was hurting American business. But how do we pay for it? And it looks like this bill is paying for it on the backs of especially Californians who own homes. Between the loss of the deduction for state income taxes, local taxes, which are very high here, and, you know, the home mortgage deduction cutbacks, this could be a very, very expensive tax cut for Californians.
It could be for some Californians, and at least our back-of-the-napkin calculation for most Californians, even Californians, is that it will be a net benefit, and that, of course, flows from the near doubling of the standard deduction and also just the lowering of the rates. I think a lot of the people who are focusing in on this with a critical eye are just kind of not even counting the reduction in rates. So every California taxpayer's impact will be different. Having said that, you're right. It is far more likely that a taxpayer in California will not reap the same benefits as a taxpayer in Florida, where they have no income tax, or in Texas. But I would hasten to add, don't rush to judgment, and don't believe what is being said in the mainstream media about the tax reform. In my view, it looks like ordinary middle-class Californians probably end up a little bit better off. Now, higher wealth individuals, particularly those heavily invested in real estate and those who get a lot of personal income tax, California has the highest income tax rate in America, top marginal rate of 13.3%, by far highest in America. So that will have negative consequences under the federal tax reform.
Because these two bills now, the House version and the Senate version, have to be reconciled before it gets to President Trump's desk, I have no doubt that will happen.
Yes.
What change, based on what you've seen, what change would you lobby them to make?
You know, There's a bunch. I do like the lowering of the rates. I don't know why they think the 20% corporate rate is a must, is cast in stone. I think they'd go 21 or 22, but President Trump has said that he doesn't want to do that. He wants it a little bit below the international average. I do think here's one change I would like to see. If they're going to have a significant change in the removal of the SALT deduction, the SALT state and local taxes, there should be a phase-in, because there have been economic decisions made by Californians, both individuals and businesses, based on the previous law. I think there's a good argument that if you're going to make the change, and the change has good policy reasons behind it, which I think there are, but at least have a phase-in so people can start making their economic decisions. So it will not be this shock to the finances of a lot of Californians. I think that would be a reasonable ask for the federal tax reform.
We're talking with John Cappell, president of Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association. Here's what worries me about this, John. This process has devolved the same way that the passage of the Affordable Care Act, a.k.a. Obamacare, did. That it became really a matter of political survival. The members of Congress have to go to 2018 having passed no legislation.
Right.
And they needed, they had promised tax reform, so now they can say, they can check that box. But from what I understand, the tax cuts start to go away in 2019. And to me, that's sort of the way that the sleazy way that the Affordable Care Act, the largest rate increases were built in to 2017 after Barack Obama left office. And now we've got a situation where the tax cuts start to go away after the midterm elections when everybody's been safely reelected.
I think the tax rate reductions are permanent. I know that there was some discussion of a trigger, but I don't think that is in either version. I'd have to go back and check. But I think what you're talking about is some of the the tax savings, but the tax deductions or the lowering of the rates and some of the tax savings are set off into the future. I think that's part of the negotiation by some of the deficit hawks who do not want, again, this huge loss of revenue to the federal budget right out of the box. Now, remember the theory here. The theory is that the lowering of the corporate tax rate and the lowering of the brackets will help stimulate the economy. I believe that's true. However, it's got to be matched by spending reductions, because on the spending side, we've seen this before.
Yep.
In 1986,
right,
where they had tax reform, but they didn't match it with any change or reforms on the spending.
Well, that's right. If the entitlements keep growing and we keep dough, we'll outspend whatever comes in. John, as always, thank you so much. HJTA.org, the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association President, John Cappell.